Ira Sankey, worship leader for D.L. Moody, was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River. He was asked to sing, and Mr. Sankey chose the song, "Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." After the song, a man with a rough, weather-beaten face came up to Mr. Sankey and asked if he had ever served in the Union Army. Mr. Sankey said that he had, and then the man continued, "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright, moonlit night in 1862? "Yes," said Mr. Sankey, a little bit surprised. "So did I," said the stranger, "but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I said to myself, that guy's not getting out of here alive. I raised my musket to take aim and was standing in the shadow completely concealed while you were in the full moonlight. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Music has always had a wonderful power over me, and I took my finger off the trigger. I thought, let him sing the song to the end. I'll shoot him afterwards. My bullet's not going to miss. But the song that you sang was the song that you just sang now. And that night I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Thou dost befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up many memories in my heart. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many, many times sung that song to me, but she died all too soon, otherwise my life would have been much different. When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim at you again. I thought, the Lord who is able to save this man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. And my arm, of its own accord, fell to my side. Much like Mr. Sankey, Scrooge was in the crosshairs of death and destruction. He never even realized it. And much like Mr. Sankey, Scrooge was given his life back. He saw the consequences of his life and where they were leading to, and it scared change into him. So today we're going to look at the biblical way change comes by looking at the account of Mary at the beginning of the Christmas story. Christmas Day would never have happened if Mary had not responded to God in the way that she did. So grab your Bible, go to Luke chapter 1. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 1025. Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 26. Again, page 1025 in the Pew Bible. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. As we're talking about change, change comes, this is our first thing, change comes when we receive God's word with humility. Mary comes across as kind of a sweet, pure, humble young lady. She was kind of blown away that the angel would actually come and visit her and that she was actually going to be a part of God's plan. Yet her response to all of this was, "I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled." Mary simply accepted God's plan for her life. She could have complained and said, "You know what? This is a huge inconvenience for me. You have no idea what's on my schedule." She could have protested in false humility and said, "You know what? I'm really not worthy of this honor. And she may have been thinking, actually, I kind of am worthy of this honor. She could have been thinking all kinds of different ways. But instead, she just simply accepted God's plan. Humility is an incredible character quality. It knows how to say, I am a servant, without degrading itself. It knows how to say, I was wrong, without self-despising. Humility knows how to say, please forgive me, without groveling. Humility knows how to say, let me have another chance. When Scrooge woke up from his encounters with the ghosts of Christmas, he humbled himself and retraced his steps to right the wrongs committed on Christmas Eve. We're going to watch that now.
My room. My bed. Shake of heaven. And Christmas time be praised. Still here. They're not torn down, rings and all. They're here! I'm here. The shadows of the things that would have been can be dispelled. They will be. I know they will. To dance to. Hello, what's today?
Hi.
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Well, they can do anything they like. Of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow.
Hello.
Do you know the poulterers in the next street?
Of course I do.
Have they sold the prize turkey hanging in the window? The big one?
What, the one as big as me?
That's it, delightful boy.
Yeah, it's still there.
Good, go buy it.
You're jossing.
No, go buy it in my name. And tell them to bring it straight here. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back in less than 5 minutes, I'll give you two. Send it to Bob Cratchit. No, it's from. Sister, run, bother you.
Here's the man, and here's the turkey. Now, where's my 2 shillings?
Oh, that's a turkey. And here. You want 2 shillings, my boy.
Whoops!
Now, I want you to take this bird to Bob Cratchit, 24 Camden Road, Camden Town.
24 Camden Road?
Wait. You can't carry that bird all the way to Camden Town. You must take a cab.
Yes, sir.
Keep the change. And don't tell Cratchit where it came from. A cab, sir, a cab.
reality is, when we encounter the gospel, we are made new creations. Which, by the way, we do not remake ourselves. God is the one who remakes us. There'll be a verse on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. According to Scripture, we are completely different people because of the change that God has brought in our lives. But sometimes we have to reach the end of ourselves to kind of understand this. John D. Rockefeller is one of these guys who had to get there. He was determined to make money early in his life, and it drove him to his utter limits. At age 33, he earned his first $1 million. At age 43, he controlled the biggest company in the world. By age 53, he was the richest man on earth and the world's only billionaire. Then he developed a sickness called alopecia, which caused his hair to fall out, his eyelashes, his eyebrows disappeared, and he was kind of shrunken in like a mummy. His weekly income at that moment was $1 million a week. But he could only digest milk and crackers. He was so hated in the state of Pennsylvania that he had to have bodyguards day and night. He did not sleep. He did not smile. And he did not enjoy anything in life. The doctors predicted that he would not even live one more year. The newspaper had already written his obituary just for convenience sake, just in case they needed it at any time. But one sleepless night set him thinking. And he realized in a new light that he could not take one dime with him into the next world. So like Scrooge, he learned that money is not everything. The next morning found him a completely new man. He began to help churches with his amassed wealth. He established the Rockefeller Foundation, whose funding of medical researches led to the discovery of penicillin and other wonder drugs. John D. Rockefeller then began to sleep well, to eat, and to enjoy life. The doctors that had predicted that he would never make it to 54, he lived to 98 years old. He had to come to the end of himself before he could understand about change. Our second principle of change. The first is receiving God's word with humility. The second change comes when we make ourselves available to God. Mary never claimed any merit for herself, as if somehow she was worthy to receive this honor. There's been lots of speculation about Mary as to why she was worthy. However, when it comes to the Bible is really silent about who Mary was. We do read in the Bible that God took the initiative to work in and through Mary. She simply made herself available. She said, "I am the Lord's servant." This really should give us hope. We don't have to spend lots of time trying to make something of ourselves. Our purpose should be to make ourselves available to God. God's lowest servants are higher than the world's greatest leaders. And you never know what little thing that you do for God may be used in a mighty way. You may have heard the story of Jean Thompson. She was a fifth grade teacher, and on the first day of school, she stood in front of her class and she told her children a lie. Like many teachers, she looked at her pupils and said that she loved them all the same and that she would treat them all alike. That was impossible because then right there in front of her, slumped in his seat, in the third row was a boy named Teddy Stoddard. Miss Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed that he didn't play well with other children, that his clothes were unkempt, and that he usually needed a bath. And Teddy was unpleasant. It got to the point in the first few months that she would actually take delight in putting little red X's all over his paper and a big red F at the top. Because Teddy was a sullen boy, kind of kept to himself, he had few, if any, friends. At the school where Miss Thompson worked, she was required to review each child's records, and she put Teddy's off to the very end. When she opened it, she was in for a surprise. His first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright, inquisitive child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." The second grade teacher wrote, Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness, and life at home must be a struggle. Third grade teacher wrote, Teddy continues to work hard, but his mother's death has been hard on him. His father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if steps are not taken. Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends and sometimes sleeps in class. He is tardy and could become a problem. By now, Miss Thompson realized the problem, but Christmas was coming quickly. It wasn't until the day before the holidays began that she was suddenly forced to focus on Teddy Stoddard. Her children brought her presents, all beautifully wrapped ribbons, bright papers, all those kinds of things, all except for Teddy's, which was clumsily wrapped in a brown paper bag that was scissored and kind of put together. Miss Thompson took pains in opening his gift right in the middle of all the rest of the gifts. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a one-quarter full bottle of cologne. She kind of stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how beautiful the bracelet was, and she put some of the perfume on her wrists. After the party, Teddy Stoddard stayed behind just long enough to say, Miss Thompson, today you smelled just like my mother used to. When the children left, she cried. On that very day, she quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and she began to teach children. Jean Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. On days that there would be an important test, Miss Thompson would remember to put some of that cologne on. By the end of the year, he had become one of the smartest children in the class and kind of become the pet of the teacher who had once vowed to love all her children exactly the same. A year later, she found a note under her door from Teddy, telling her that of all the teachers that she had in elementary school, she was his favorite. 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still his favorite teacher of all time. 4 years after that, she got a letter saying that while things had been tough at times, he stayed in school, stuck it out, and would graduate from college with highest honors. And he assured Miss Thompson that she was still his favorite teacher. Then 4 more years passed, and another letter came. This time, it explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little bit further, and then it explained that she was still his favorite teacher, but now his name was a little bit longer, and the letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. But the story doesn't end there. There was another letter that came. Teddy said that he had met a girl, planned to get married, and he explained that his father had passed away a couple of years before, and he asked if Miss Thompson would sit in the seat where his parents would sit. And I can bet on that day that Miss Thompson probably smelled the same way she smelled on that day before Christmas. Miss Thompson made herself available to a student in need. She was used in an incredible way to help one of her students. And in the same way, we need to make ourselves available to God. Mary did, and she became the mother of the Savior of all of humanity. We may not get asked to do something quite that world-changing. However, her act was simply one thing, being available to God. Our act may be something small, but it could make big differences in others when we simply lay aside our agenda and make ourselves available to God. The third way of change is through faith, trusting that nothing is impossible for God. If the ghosts in the Christmas Carol had believed that Scrooge was too far gone, his transformation might never have happened. If Miss Thompson had thought that Teddy was too stupid or too lazy or too just irredeemable, his transformation probably never would have happened. For us, we have to believe that nothing is impossible for God. In fact, that is what our entire faith is based on. Y'all remember Sarah way back in the Old Testament? She was able to conceive and have a child with Abraham, even when it was thought to be impossible because she was 90 years old. And that's actually what God even said to them when he was having that conversation. He said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" But the difference here is we have to believe that God can transform us. And usually what happens is we get hung up on trying to make ourselves good enough for God. And that is one of the most backward concepts that has ever crept into Christianity. And that happens on both sides of the cross. So let me explain that. Before you become a Christian, before you've accepted Jesus Christ, people often think that they have to clean themselves up before they can come and be accepted by Jesus. Well, here's my thing. If you don't have to clean yourself up before you take a shower, why do you have to clean up before you come to Jesus? The reality is, Jesus is the shower. He's the one who's going to clean you up. That's why you come to him. So that's before the cross, but people who already have accepted Jesus also buy into this lie. They go, you know what, God can't love me if I sin. I somehow have to make myself acceptable to God. I have to do better things for God so he'll accept me. Absolutely wrong, folks. Jesus made you worthy. God may direct you to an area of life where he says, I want you to work on this for holiness because this is an area of your life that needs some work. But here's the thing. You are always accepted. Once you've been accepted in the family of God, you are always accepted, period. God can and does do the impossible by transforming sinners by the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. The prayer of this series has been that we would see people in our church transformed from humbug to hallelujah. In your bulletin, you should all have some form of note card. Thank you note card, a little blank card, something of that. You can take that out, wave it at me right now. Go ahead. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. If you've seen a change in your life, big or small, that you want to thank Jesus for, this is your time to write a thank you card to Jesus. And I think we're going to close our service a little differently. We're going to do a little bit of a carol sing. Okay, so you guys can request a song from the hymn book. You'll have to do it from the hymn book because we're not prepared for all this. We'll be doing some a cappella and all that kind of thing. But we're going to do a few Christmas carols here at the end to end things up. But after you have written your card, at any point, feel free to walk up here and then just set it in the tree. Okay? Set your card up and leave it there. And what's going to happen is this. We're going to collect the cards. We're going to make a list. And then we're going to put it in the bulletin next week so people can see what God is doing in each other's lives. So feel free to sign the card if you want to. Or you can leave it anonymous. That's fine. We're not going to make you have to sign the card. But if God is doing something in your life, feel free, write that down, bring your card up, and set it up in the tree. And we would just love to see the tree covered with cards today.
In your hymnal, you'll find Christmas carols between, like, page 168 and 205. So you can be thinking of what songs you want to do. I'll play what I can. And